From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Robert Siegel.
And I'm Michelle Norris. London went back to work today, 4 days after bombs ripped through subway trains and a bus there. Police now say 52 people died in those attacks, and deep underground, workers are still trying to retrieve bodies from a subway tunnel. Investigators are conducting forensic tests and consulting with foreign intelligence agencies. But as NPR's Anthony Kuhn reports from London, answers are scarce.
Even as Londoners demonstrated their resilience by returning to work by the millions today, sporadic outpourings of grief continued. At City Hall, a citizen signed a book of condolences for the bereaved. London resident Helen Chesterman fought back tears as she paid her respects.
I just wrote that in memory of the people who have lost their lives, we will not bow down to their terror. We will continue to live well.
Today, authorities named the first bombing victims to be identified since Thursday. They were Gladys Vundova, a cleaner at a university, and Susan Levy, a 53-year-old mother of two. Marie Fatia Williams was among those still searching for missing relatives. She flew from Nigeria to look for her missing son, Anthony, a 26-year-old oil executive. She gave an impassioned speech at the scene of the bus bombing near Tavistock Square.
How much blood must be spilt? How many tears shall we cry? How many mothers' hearts must be maimed? My heart is maimed at the moment. I pray that I see my son, Anthony.
Some relatives have criticized police for the delays in retrieving and identifying the dead. Metropolitan Police Commissioner Ian Blair visited one of the bomb sites and pleaded for citizens to be patient.
We will identify people, and we'll identify them as quickly as we can. But this is the biggest crime scene in English history, and we've got to get this right.
Authorities briefly shut down Whitehall, the main government office district, and the King's Cross area today, just two of the more than 100 bomb scares since Thursday. The government warned of further terrorist threats while the bombers remain at large. Transportation official Nigel Holness urged subway passengers to stay alert.
We have been hit by a number of security alerts since the terror events of Thursday. I'd really strongly ask people to ensure that they keep all of their belongings with them at all times.
British officials are tight-lipped about what progress their investigations have made so far. Speaking in Parliament today, Prime Minister Tony Blair could only promise a thorough manhunt for the bombers.
I cannot give details, for obvious reasons, of the police investigation now underway. I can say it is among the most vigorous and intense that this country has ever seen.
Blair politely rejected equally polite calls by the opposition Conservative Party for a public inquiry into possible intelligence failures. He said that an inquest would divert attention from the ongoing investigations. He added that the government could introduce new anti-terror legislation to give security forces more powers to deal with terrorists. Britain's security chief, Home Secretary Charles Clarke, said that one measure under consideration involved retaining citizens' communications data.
Whether of telephones or of emails, which record what calls were made from what number to another number at what time, are a very important use for intelligence. I'm not talking now about the content of any call, but the fact that a call was made.
Nearly 5 days after the bombing, many basic questions remain unanswered. British officials have dismissed speculation in the media about suspects and explosive devices. Security analysts note that unlike last year's Madrid bombings, where authorities recovered an undetonated bomb, the London bombers have covered their tracks well and left few clues. Anthony Kuhn, NPR News, London.